All right, let's stand together. Did we get the handouts? Did we pass those out? Do we have them? Yes or no? All right, let's all stand together. Let's read a couple of verses here, and then we'll pray and we'll let you be seated. We've been looking at the church. It's been like probably a month since I've been here. We had Brother Esposito for a few weeks. We had some special speakers on Thursday night. But we're looking at the church, and what we've been focusing on the last time, and we'll look at it this time, is why the church is important in our society in which we live. And basically, not to get into it, we'll be very specific in a few minutes, it's because the truth is under attack. And just common sense things of life that are scriptural, are right, which have been the foundation of our society, which really, some of the stuff we're going to look at, it's ridiculous we even have to talk about it, but our society is going crazy. It's retarded. And that's the nicest thing I can say. Let's just read a few verses and get started. Psalm chapter 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. John chapter 4 and verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 1, 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, talking about Jesus Christ. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 17, 17, Jesus' prayer, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. John chapter 8 and verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. By the way, it's true. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their promiscuous ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the time together. I pray, Lord, as we look at some things that just maybe even years ago wouldn't even have been an issue, or an issue today, as truth is under fire. I pray, Lord, that we would get a clear understanding here, Lord, that we need to stand on the side of truth. Bless us now in our Bible study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. For the past several months, probably 5 or 6 months, as I've been in and out with guest speakers, missions conferences, and so forth, we've been talking about the church, many aspects. The church is an important component in any Christian's life. I really don't know any hardcore, good, godly, right Christians that are not connected to a church. The church was and is important to Jesus Christ. But more important than that, the church plays an important part in our individual lives each and every day. About a month ago, we've had several speakers in. We had Brother Esposito for a few weeks. A couple weeks, we had special things going on. We had a Thanksgiving lesson. But we looked at a key reason why we need church. The reason being that the world is out to fight the truth of God's word. By the way, they're fighting God. I was at the dentist yesterday, our dentist down the street here, and she told me that and I don't know the whole story, I'm just telling you what she said, that a girl was online at Disney, and she had an account or something, and she mentioned God, and Disney froze her out. Cut off her account, told her that that's an offensive word. God. See, in our country, we have freedom of religion. We don't have freedom from religion. That's where the twist is being made. Now it's no longer, do you have a right to believe? They've twisted it to where I have a right for you not to say something that bothers and offends me. And that's not what our Constitution, our founding fathers, had in mind. But basically, it's a war against God. They fight what God says is true in his word. The Bible has been very marginalized in our society, and really, to be honest with you, Christians have had a hand in that by the way we've, the nonsense that we have done. That is why we need church. There has to be a place that stands up unashamedly for what God's Word says. One of the issues is the church has actually started to back away. See, because the world has become so toxic and so antagonistic, we don't want to be seen as being mean and hateful. By the way, we're not mean and hateful. But they say that we're mean and hateful if we say something that they don't believe, and so we back off of it. Many months ago, I don't know where I get all these emails from. I get several emails from conservative places. And this one guy wrote an article, and it was very good. I don't even know who the guy is. He goes, Christians need to quit trying to be nice because it's not working. Whenever we try to say, well, that's offensive, let me back off, they steamroll us. Because once you backpedal, that's that. It's like a bully picking on somebody. Once you start backpedaling, they're going to keep picking on you. Might as well grab a stick and have at it and just stand up for yourself. Don't do that in a school. We'll suspend you. But spiritually speaking, pick up a stick, all right? Someone has said that's an equalizer when someone's bigger than you. But we think, well, I'll just be nice, and I don't want to be, they want us to be like, they want us to shut up. Yeah. Isn't church the place where we ought to come and hear the truth? Yeah. Not avoid it? That's not what has been happening. Now, I want to look today at some foundational truths in the Bible that God set forth that are being undermined today. See, if the truths can be done away with, then society feels very comfortable doing away with the constraints that God has set forth. And really, that's what it's all about. We want to push the truth aside so the constraints that we feel that God gives us that are holding us back from doing what we want will be done away with, and we'll do it. We'll be able to do what we want, and we'll have a progressive society. Society is getting worse and worse. I don't know if you know that. And we'll mention that in a minute. Where do these basic truths start? And really, so I was reading through Genesis, it's like they're all over the place in Genesis. Little small things that shouldn't be an issue. Let's look at some of them. What are some of the truths under attack? Number one, belief in God. Let's start in the beginning. In the beginning, God. Belief in God is under attack. It always has been, but it's getting worse. Now, there's always been really four views of God. There's polytheism, beliefs that there is more than one God. Polytheism means many. You know, there are many gods. There's your God, there's my God, there's his God. We all have a God that we believe in. Then there's pantheism, and we won't spend time on it. It's a New Age belief that all is God. God is in all, and all is in God. Okay? What does that mean? If you want to worship a rock, go right ahead. Okay? If you think a tree is God, okay, you guys watch Pocahontas, and she's talking to that. Trees are to be chopped down and made into Christmas trees, not talked to. I had a new guy one time, and he was talking to a tree. But can I just tell you something? He had taken something that was not sold as a prescription. That's why. He actually got in a fight with the tree, and the tree won. But there have always been the people that don't believe. There's monotheism, belief in one God. That's what we would believe in. And then atheism, belief that there is no God. But belief in God is under attack. What does the Bible say? By the way, there have always been those who say that they believe that there is no God. Look at the verses in the Bible. By the way, God gives them a special identification, a badge. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. By the way, notice there's actions associated with beliefs. Now we think, oh, an atheist, he's educated, he's intelligent, he writes books. Well, that's their opinion. God says they are a fool. Psalm chapter 53 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God's repeating himself here. Why? It's important. I don't care how many PhDs or how many degrees someone has, if they say there is no God, God classifies that person as a fool. What is a fool? A fool is one who defies and ignores God's principles. Over the last, now there's always been atheists. Madeline Murray O'Hare, how many remember her? She got the Bible or prayer, one of the two, thrown out of school system. And by the way, her son later on, her son is the one that she went to court for. He later on became a Christian. But she, you know, she was a star. There's a whole new breed of them. They call these men the angry atheist. There's a man named Richard Dawkins. He wrote a book called The God Delusion. A man named Sam Harris, The End of Faith. Christopher Hutchins, God is not great. See, the what they're doing now is they're not just saying, I don't believe there's a God, and you can believe, and you believe there is a God, we disagree. In the God delusion, Richard Dawkins state, his whole thesis is, not only does he believe there isn't a God, he believes that those who do believe in God are dangerous to society. Notice that next step. Not only you're wrong, you are hurtful for society. That's where this is all going. Anthony Flew, who wrote one of these books, said the chief targets of these books are without question organized religion of any kind, time, or place. The books themselves read like fundamentalist sermons. They have a, there's an organization in America, it's called Freedom From Religion. They're trying not just to say you can believe what you believe, I don't believe in God. They're trying to shut down any aspects of belief in God. Anything that's public that states God, they want it down. They don't like, you know, Christmas trees, Merry Christmas, all that stuff. You know, it's happy holidays now. Or Merry Xmas or Kwanzaa or whatever there is they're throwing at you. They want God off the scene. They want to shut us up. You say, oh, this is America. They'll never do that. You know, about a year ago, some of our guys were soul winning in Maywood, and they were told by the police they couldn't do that. Now, the police left them alone, but if they would have said it again, our whole church would have went out there. And we'd have called CLA. That's where we're heading. They want to shut us up. Belief in God is not dangerous. People are tolerant of anything except that which goes against what they believe. If God doesn't exist, then why are they so upset at him? If he doesn't exist, what's the big deal? He's not an issue. Listen, I'm not upset with the Easter Bunny. You know why? He tastes just like chicken. He doesn't exist. I'm not going to get upset with the Easter Bunny. But that's what they are. They're mad. They don't want us to believe in God. They want us to back off. Psalms tells us where this comes from. The fool has said in his what? Heart. Comes from their heart. What they are really in essence doing is putting up a wall. See, because if someone knows there's a God, then by the next step is, I know that I am accountable to him. Therefore, if I can build a wall and say there is no God, I feel like I'm unaccountable. I can do what I want. And that's what a fool really does, and that's what an atheist does. There's a wall. Before we move on to the next one, I thought this was interesting. Atheists say that God doesn't exist. And I read an article that said that scientists now say that atheists don't exist. I'll just read a portion of it. According to recent research, atheists may not actually exist. And an article for Science 2.0, Nuri Vitacci, wrote that the way human brains are wired seems to make it impossible for someone to actually be a true atheist. And he goes on and gives some studies. In other words, what they're saying is, scientists are saying that we are born with an innate knowledge in our mind that there is a God. And so the scientists are saying, you know what? You don't believe in God, but we don't believe an atheist. By the way, no one's born an atheist. They learn that somewhere. It's a decision they make along the lines. You don't meet a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old. You don't meet any child that age unless they're someone's brainwashed them already that naturally says, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. That's learned. We have said we do not want God in our lives. We don't want him interrupting us. And we definitely don't want him telling us what to do. Well, excuse me. If the scientists are catching on that there really is no such thing as a true atheist, God's word knew that all along. Look at Romans there. Chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the visible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Excuse me. But listen, nobody in their right mind can look at what's been created and say, there's no God. Nature tells us that. That's what it's saying. That is something that they have taught themselves. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become what? Don't ever feel intimidated by someone that's an atheist. The simplest arguments are the best, and we'll get to that when we talk about evolution. Okay? It's not that hard, but it's a choice. It's a lifestyle. So we see, number one, belief in God. Number two, we see another truth that is under the attack is specific creation. Specific creation. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, what did he do? He created the heaven and the earth. Verse 26 and 27, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So what's the next step? We don't want to believe that there is a God. Then we have to answer the question, how in the world did we get here? By the way, some of these guys aren't as smart as you think they are. There was a movie several years ago. It was a documentary. It was called Expelled. Anybody remember that movie? It was basically, they were doing a documentary on many scientists now in colleges and universities are weighing the evidence, and they may not become Christians, but they're starting to realize that there is a creator. We didn't happen by accident. And what they were doing in this movie is showing how these men were losing their jobs, and they're losing their positions by simply just stating what they feel the evidence says. And in that movie, Stephen Dawkins, one of the atheists we quoted earlier, they had him on camera and they said, well, if we weren't created, how did life on this earth start? Now, most of them drop evolution, but here's what he said. We may have been seeded here by aliens from another planet. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. And people listen to this guy, really? Now, we don't believe in a God, but we believe in aliens from another planet. By the way, how many of you have ever met someone? It's like, I think they are an alien. Have you ever met that? Not from another country either. But what is the typical response to where did man come from if there is no God? Evolution. Evolution makes a great deal of sense if you think it through. First, there was nothing. In fact, there was a lot of nothing. And then, believe it or not, nothing exploded. And the nothing that exploded created everything. Now that sounds reasonable to me. And here was the earth that was created from nothing by this huge explosion. And there was this primordial ooze. And there was probably a rainstorm, maybe like we had yesterday. By the way, in California, if it rains 2 days in a row, it's storm watch. How many of you know that? Storm watch, 24. It was called rain. I don't get that. Any of you see the picture? It said California storm 2014, and it's a lawn chair that fell over on the grass, and it says, "We will rebuild." We are spoiled, right? We are spoiled. But this ooze, there was a lightning bolt that hit the ooze, and it made a simple cell. Now, I'm not a scientist, and I don't pretend to be one, but I've read this, and the odds of that happening, it's not happening. There is, by the way, there is no such thing as a simple cell. But even if you got the simple cell, how did it multiply? How did it grow? Where did it come from? Then over a course of years, it became this, and it became that, and became this, and then next thing you know, it's a monkey, and next thing it's your uncle. By the way, Darwin, in his book on evolution, stated that if evolution is true, which he believed, oh, by the way, something they don't tell you about his book, one of the reasons Darwin wrote his book was to prove that the white man was a little bit more superior to the darker man. They don't tell you that. Okay? He's nuts. But anyhow, he said if this is true, the fossil record will be full of all kinds of intermediary species. In other words, they say that a cow came from a whale. I think that's the one. That makes great sense. If it took 500 million years for that whale to become a cow, okay, you would have 500 million years of intermediary fossils. You would have just as many fossils of a whale as you would a cow, and you would have just as many of them all the way along that line. Where are they? According to Darwin, if the fossil record doesn't show it's true, everything he believes is not true. And the fossil record shows it's not true. But we still believe it. You see, evolution, and here's the point I'm trying to make. It takes faith. I'm not a brain surgeon. I just pretend to be one every now and then. A creator that created us, nothing that exploded. What do you think would take more faith? If I'm going to stake my eternal destiny on something, would it be a creator who created us or nothing that exploded? Okay, I remember years ago, I was driving the car and I was with Jessica. Jessica was probably about seven or eight. We're driving the car and she said, "Dad, what is evolution?" I said, "Well, have you met your uncle? It's the explanation where he came from." Just kidding. I said, "You know what evolution is? It's the belief that man evolved or we came from monkeys. A monkey eventually turned into a man." And she started laughing. She said, "Quit kidding. What is evolution?" I'm like, "I'm not kidding." She goes, "Dad, you're kidding. What is evolution?" To her, it made no sense. By the way, it makes no sense to me either. You know, people say that evolution, you got rid of the things you don't need. Do you know a tail would be very handy? If we had tails, we could text while we drive. You know, the tail's holding the cell phone. It works. Evolution's nonsense. Prove it. Creation is proof of a creator. By the way, science doesn't prove creation because science is repeatable and demonstrable. You can't demonstrate it. You can't prove it. There's a lot more proof for God than there is for evolution. Creation is proof of a creator. Now they don't like that argument, but it's like, it's common sense. I have a watch on here. If I said this watch made itself, one day a lightning bolt came through our window and hit the bathtub, and there was a spring that was created. And over a course of time, that spring evolved into a watch. How many of you would think that I'm nuts? Okay, well, let me ask this. How many of you think I'm already nuts? Okay, it's nice if my wife wouldn't put her hand up. It's simple. If something exists, it some way had to be created. Creation is. Evolution and Genesis are not compatible. It's like oil and water. What happened 1800s when evolution was coming along? It was being stated as fact. There's not as much evidence as there is today to debunk it because it's just, you know, it is what it is. And so what happened is some of the more liberal aspects of Christianity, and I use that term loosely, started backpedaling. Well, you know, maybe God used evolution to create man. Well, first of all, I can disprove that real quickly. Read your Bible. Reading the Bible solves a lot of stuff. It's like it's not in there. You've got to make it fit. Look, the Pope. I'm not a Pope guy. Now, maybe the Popey guy with the ice creams, okay? That guy. But I'm not a Pope guy. Francis. Francis has some issues. Here's what the Pope said. The theories of evolution and the Big Bang are real. And God is not a magician with a magic wand. That's what the Pope has said. He was speaking to some people that probably shouldn't have been wasting their time listening to him. He basically was saying that when you read about creation in Genesis, we run the risk of imagining God was a magician. This is the Pope. With a magic wand, able to do everything. But that is not so. I thought the Pope, he's not a Christian by any stretch of the imagination, but I kind of thought he was supposed to be religious. You see what he's saying? You can't believe Genesis, or you have to believe God's a magician waving a wand and can do whatever he wants. Thank you, Chip. Appreciate that. Can I just tell you something? He's right. God's not a magician. God doesn't have to wave a wand, but he is wrong. God can do whatever he wants. See, we're trying to appease people that don't care for us to be appeased. It's like, look, it's like, and I'm, if you're against this, really, I don't want to offend you, but we'll be all right here. You know, war is, I'm against war. Can I just tell you something? I'm against war too. But if someone starts one, I'm in. War takes, it's like, I'm against fighting. If a guy attacks me, I have no choice. I can be a pacifist and get the snot beat out of me. Okay, I'm against fighting. He's not. So I better step up to the plate. And I figure this, if someone's got to lose, it should be him. We're not warmongers, but if someone attacks us, it's on. Isn't that how it should be? You don't appease an aggressive person by backing off. They run over you. And what we've done in Christianity, we're trying to appease our enemies by backing off of what we believe, and they're just going to keep running over us. The whole point is the Bible is just being, it's being marginalized. You know, our public schools kick God out. They substituted evolutionary process. And then we wonder, why do our children act like animals? Now, can we think this through? David, if you go to a public school, you don't. If I'm telling this kid, you know what? You're no different than an animal. You've evolved from animal. And by the way, you know what the law of the jungle is? Survival of the fittest. And so I'm telling the kid he comes from an animal, it's survival of the fittest, and then I get mad when he acts like an animal. If we really believe in evolution, Why would I be concerned about what he does? After all, he's just acting like evolution is survival of the fittest. He's just taking it. By the way, Hitler believed in it, and that was part of his philosophy. He wanted the fittest to survive, and he terminated anybody he felt didn't match up. Okay? We're human beings. It doesn't work that way. We're a special creation from God. You see, before we started substituting this stuff in our schools, USA Today had a list here. These, back before we took God out of school, here was the biggest problems in the school system. Are you ready? Talking. That must have been women. Chewing gum. That's a bad one. Making noise. I'm not going to say. I don't know what type of noise. Here's one that's horrible. This is horrible. If this happened in our school, we'd kick someone out. Getting out of turn in line. How dare you cut? Wearing improper clothing. Now they don't have that problem because nothing's improper. Oh, this one is this one right here. Not putting paper in the wastebasket. That's intolerable. School systems were horrible. Can I tell you something? They laugh at those. You know, what are the problems in our school systems today? By the way, the public schools look like prisons. You have to lock them down to keep them in. Some of the schools have their own police officers. We had a guy that used to go to the church when I was in, it's not Maywood, it was Monterey Park then. Now it's Maywood, but it's going back to Monterey Park. He was a police officer. Did his police officer work? At a high school. Listen, I went to high school when Robert was in high school. Now, it wasn't Mother Teresa. We didn't have those kind of problems. They had problems. It wasn't that open like that. It's worse. Do you understand things are getting worse and worse and worse and worse? We've kicked God out of the school. We told the kids they came from monkeys. God doesn't exist. And we wonder why they act like the way they do. If there's no purpose to this life, if there's no meaning to this life, it's just all about doing what you feel is best. No constraints, no restrictions. How do you think they're going to act? The same way you and I would act. Once we start to believe in evolution, belief in God dies. That's the battle. Let me say this and I'm done. There's a guy named Bill Nye. He's called the science guy. He just wrote a book called Undeniable Evolution and the Science of Creation. Here's what he says his target in the book is. He is trying to target the children of Bible believers. He says, we are all a product of the same evolutionary process. Here's hoping we can work together to bring the children of the creationist preacher's flocks to a more enlightened, boundless way of thinking about the world around us. That's who they're after. Now, if your kid's in public school, I'm not getting on you. I'm just telling you, I would never send my kid to a public school. I know the stuff I heard when I was in public school, and that was like 5-10 years ago. It was bad. I had a teacher in driver's ed say, you know, hey, listen, before you take your test, we'll get you a six-pack, and we'll get you some Valium, and you'll be all right. Openly talked about drugs. It just that was like tame compared to what's going on today. There is no God. You came from a monkey, but we want you to act moral. If there is no God and we came from animals, then where do we learn what we're supposed to be doing? Where do we learn right and wrong? There is no right and wrong. There's got to be a moral compass somewhere. By the way, God's placed one inside each and every one of us. But it's right there in his word. But if we kick God out, we're headed down a very slippery slope, and we got to stop there. Sorry. Let's pray.